everybody, and welcome to yet another episode of the Tired Obsidian Podcast. We've had two kind of different podcasts in the last two episodes, just because we've been trying to shake it up a little bit. But we, well, some of us have been doing a lot of stuff lately, and I think it's good to come back to our normal format and get deep into talking about what we've been doing in the last little bit. But this week I have Brandon.
Howdy.
And welcome back, CJ.
Everything falls apart when I'm gone. I'm glad to be back to clean up a fucking mess. All right, it's been a bitch editing the last two episodes. I am finally happy to be here monitoring everything. I'm tired of this shit.
It wasn't that bad. Anyways, we haven't really talked to one another in the last, like, month, because it seems like we just kind of, like, talk on the podcast, save everything for the podcast. So what have you guys been up to in the last month, basically? Anything new and exciting for you guys?
I got a new job.
Hey, congrats.
Nice. And,
it's okay. It's nothing spectacular. Okay.
All right, take it back then.
Are you happy Thank with you. The change?
I'm happy to not be at my old job, and so that's kind of what it is.
Do I congratulate you or not, Brandon? I'm confused. I'm trying to be like supportive here, but you're making
I appreciate the support, and that is enough to know that you're supportive.
All right.
I am supportive. I waited, CJ. You see that? I waited.
Actually, Brandon, I'm not. That's the thing. I'm not being supportive because I retracted it. You're making it really difficult here. I don't want to be an asshole. I think you need to understand that. I'm trying my hardest here. I'm really trying here, man. I'm really trying.
Basically, I'm just at a job that I'm at to get away from my last job while I look for a job that I want to do.
Yeah, that's a good thing.
That's fine.
We've all been there.
Yes. Yes, yes, we have.
We, you know, time is a straight line. So yeah. I learned today that I'm getting a raise.
Hell yeah.
Nice.
Effective.
Congrats.
Like everyone in my position is getting a raise effective next month. So hopefully that comes in soon because it's great. I'm in a good mood. I will endure a lot more bullshit.
That's exciting, dude. Congratulations.
Nothing boosts morale at a job like a raise.
Yeah, dude.
100%.
I just gave a bunch of people like small bumps, and they were all so stoked. And I was like, "Hell yeah!"
Well, all it did
was get a raise, but whatever.
All it did was basically confirm like I have no rush. I'm in no rush to move up right now with this. So that's all that matters. Like I'm in no rush to promote right now. I can't promote because I'm in like a weird probation period since I've been working this position for less than a year. So I'm in no rush now, which is great. It all worked out.
I do not recommend getting to the top.
I want to. I believe me, I want to.
I know you do, and I did too, and it's like it's still great.
The only reason this sucks. listen, the only reason I want to get to the top is because I want to get to a point where I just don't have to do anything. That's
yeah, you pay people to do it for you while still making the money.
100%. I just want an office and I just want to delegate stuff. I just want like a place where I can put my PlayStation on a desk and watch YouTube videos of like movie scenes that I usually watch when I'm depressed over and over again. And then, you know, that's it. Rewatching the Dark Knight interrogation scene over and over again, or rewatching rewatching the Mission Impossible Fallout like Halo jump scene over and over again just to feel something. That's all I want. I just want to get paid to do that.
That's the dream.
Nothing on my end. My son turns 3 tomorrow, so that's kind of cool.
Is he? He's already 3.
He's already 3. I mean, the other one's 5. And start school this year. So.
Oh my god.
Yeah, dude.
Don't say those things out loud. It hurts my soul.
I'm trying not to think about it. It's crazy, dude. Like I'm like when I start thinking about it, I hyperventilate a little bit because I'm like, I don't want my kid being at school with a bunch of assholes. I know how kids are. They suck.
It's terrible.
They are the worst.
But yeah, so that, and then I get married in like two weeks. So
hey!
I'm excited to come see you.
Yeah.
Congrats, fam. Can I say congrats? I don't know
yes,
anymore.
Yes, you can say congrats. It's been like in the works for like 5 years, I think.
Oh, Kelsey, it's been longer than that.
Yeah, I think Kelsey's just kind of been like, do I want to? Do I not want to? I don't know yet. I was like, you took the ring. You said yes, damn it.
You can't back out now.
Yeah, we got two kids, damn it. Marry me. Anyways. let's get into what we've been up to in the last month in terms of just devouring media. I will just get mine out of the way because I actually really want to talk about CJ's for sure. Just Apex Legends. I've jumped onto a couple of like Game Pass games and played like 10 minutes of them. Kind of like Trek to Yumi, like a side-scrolling ninja samurai game or something like that. But I did not get deep into it, so I cannot talk about it right now. I've really just been playing a lot of Apex Legends. And it's been fun.
I wish I
like
had.
We were like, we're going to play together, and we just never did.
I know. Well, my problem with that is, like, I can jump on Apex Legends, play a match real quick, and then dip out. Like, whereas, like, any other game, like those Game Pass games, I have, like, so many downloaded right now. But I want to be able to sit down and play them for, like, 3 hours.
Yeah, I'm the same way.
Yeah, it's like Apex. I can just jump in real quick. I don't schedule time to play games anymore because I don't really get that luxury right now. Summertime is my busy season, so it's like as soon as I get home off work, I play like two matches and then I dip. So like that's the extent of my gaming for like the past month essentially. Doing dailies and then dipping out.
I envy people who have that one game. Lately I've been like searching for it because the problem is the last time I had one game, it was a game that was already like dead. And that was of course 2019's Call of Duty Modern Warfare. That's the problem. It's like that game became like an addiction and then the next one came out and it was terrible and I'm like, well, I have to play this game now. You know what I'm saying? Like I'm kind of stuck with Cold War. I rented Vanguard from work. I haven't touched it yet, but I mean, I'll see how it is. They announced Modern Warfare 2, and apparently there's a break in between games, so I hope that I've already decided that Modern Warfare 2 will be the game that I will like spend my life with once.
But
like,
the thing with Call of Duty is that like I don't know how you can ever try to make it your game because like there's always just the game that's coming out next year.
Well,
you know.
That's what I thought, but Modern Warfare, for some reason, Modern Warfare was the game. That's like the only thing I played. It was bad. Regardless of what game I was reviewing, regardless of what I had to do, regardless of what was going on in my life, the only thing that was consistent was the fact that I was playing Modern Warfare 2019. And everyone who played video games with me between 2020 and 2021 knows that. So...
That's honestly, that's something that I was always and have been jealous of Brandon because he had Destiny all the time.
Everyone like has fucking Destiny. I want to play Destiny, but I can't.
You guys
can
play the other one that I always go back to. Go back to For Honor.
I'm not playing. Brandon, are you making fun of me right now? Are you
no, I actually I play For Honor every day, actually, lately.
Yeah, I see you on it, like, daily, too. Brandon would always bring Destiny to the podcast and be like, you know, I'm still doing Destiny and I'm having a lot of fun with it. And I'm like, man, I don't have that one game. Like, I've never had that one game. And right now, Apex Legends has really been that one game for me where I can, like, sit down and play it and enjoy it single time and I'm not tired of it at all. Like, I've been playing all of Season 12 and all of Season 13 now. And I'm just loving it right now.
Halo Infinite was like poised to be that game, and to the point where I spent like a day's worth of like time in a week, like 24 hours in like the first week, right? And it was like that was like the game. But then again, it just doesn't scratch the itch that Modern Warfare did. right? Where I was like not only obsessed, I was doing like every challenge, I was like getting all these dailies, I was trying to get all the rewards I could. Again, like I said, I think now that Treyarch's taking a break next year, so it's gonna be like there's gonna be two whole years where a Call of Duty game will like live, right?
Which is good.
It's unheard of.
Well, it's good specific for selfish reasons because it's Modern Warfare.
I think it's good because I mean there's rumors about Warzone 2 or whatever yes. they're planning.
Yeah,
like
yeah, yeah. Fuck Activision Blizzard and all that noise also. But still, yes, I 100% agree. Even if like this next Call of Duty game launches on Game Pass, it's still like one of those things. I'll buy it day one PS5. I'll buy like the deluxe edition because I'm all in. I was all in with fucking Cold War and that game sucked. And I put it in like almost 80 hours into it. That's like half of the time I put into Modern Warfare. But I'm still like a fucking like garbage human being who will continue to play these games. I skipped out on Vanguard because I'm like, nah, that's too much of a downgrade.
Yeah, I haven't played Vanguard either. I played Cold War, and outside of its political shit, it was fine. It had its moments and stuff like that, but like it's like the magic isn't there.
The biggest compliment I can pay it is that it's a Call of Duty game. So right. the baseline is it's enjoyable with friends, which is what it was to me, right? That's the Call of Duty is my comfort game, quote unquote, whatever that means. But like it's one of those things where I can always like turn it on and just play it like forever. Like the way you feel with Apex, where you can just jump in and out. And Modern Warfare specifically had that one more match feel to it, where I'm just like, yes, it's the first time a game's done that to me. Even Halo Infinite doesn't even do that to me. I love Halo Infinite. I still think Halo Infinite's like probably the best shooter we had last year.
It's so close to like greatness. It's just like so close.
It really is. But the problem is it's asking so much of the player, right? Without giving them much, because it's like, well, it's competing for time, right? If you're someone who plays something like Destiny or Apex, there's no reason for you to devote this much time to Halo Infinite for so little. And I'm someone who doesn't play either game, and I still feel like, there's nothing for me here other than, well, my friends and I all decided that at 8 o'clock tonight, we're going to play for about an hour and a half. And that's pretty much it, which is fine. That's a wonderful thing. But where's the thing that makes me want to keep playing?
Where's that hook where you can play by yourself and feel good about playing by yourself, even when you're not, like as much as playing with someone else?
That was Modern Warfare to a T, because there are nights where it was like 2 o'clock at night, and I'm like, you know what, I'm going to play Modern Warfare. I just couldn't sleep. I'm like, fuck it, I'm going to play Modern Warfare. For like, you know, until like 5 in the morning, and that was it. Splitgate sort of like that for me, but it's also one of those social things where I can only play it becomes like one of those events if I'm playing with someone else, because it's another one of those easy pickup, but there's nothing there again that's the hook. There's no hook for me to keep playing.
Hook for me back for Halo 5 and Halo Reach, because I played a lot of Halo 5, was just like unlocking the armor and the customization, and like that's what always gets me with Destiny, is that like there's always something to chase.
You're working
and
towards
Halo Infinite doesn't have stuff to chase because it's all in their microtransaction store. And that while Destiny has a decent microtransaction store, there is still always stuff to chase in the actual gameplay loop.
The problem with Halo is that they're sort of like conflating the challenges with like achievements and things like that in a weird way, where it's like, there is no possible way to do everything in like a playlist. You know what I'm saying? There's no conceivable way unless you have like a level skip or an XP booster, right? And the conditions to earn XP are ridiculous.
Oh yeah, they're absurd.
So that's the problem. I mean, what happened to like a basic, like, here's your battle pass and however many kills or however much XP you earn, that's your reward. You know what I'm saying? And then I think, you know, lock a lot more exotic stuff behind like doing a challenge, right? Don't make every single challenge be this like, you know, hula hoop or like this like this hoop you got to jump through.
One of them was like, get like full like 5 splatter kills in a game of like 4s, and I'm like, Played your own game? That's impossible.
Or just play Fiesta once. That's still too much for me. That is still too much of a commitment for me. I'm not doing that. So that's, again, like, I envy, like, a game like people who can play something like Apex religiously, because like, that's what my cousin plays also. Or, again, game like Destiny 2, which is literally a game that should that's tailored to my sensibilities. It's a first-person shooter made by the Halo people that plays almost as well as Halo, right? Like, with that style of, like, combat. And it's basically never-ending. But nothing about it attracts me at all. There is nothing there for...
I love Destiny, but, like, I think it's the... I don't know. The grind loop for me never...
There was a podcast that we were all on where I talked about how, like, nothing about the story interests me. The grind doesn't interest me. It's just the shooting. And I just wish there was a way for me to get...
That's what it is. That's, like, the core gameplay loop. If that's appealing, it makes the rest of it... Like, if it had a really good story but ass cheeks gameplay, it's like unplayable still. But if it's got a really good gameplay loop
with like a
with
like
a mediocre a, story
or like a story that's like incomprehensible unless you're like fucking, you know, a scholar,
they've gotten better about that now, but like only 7 years in they finally figured it out.
Like, the lore is really cool in that. Like, I genuinely want to pick up those lore books that they made hard
copies. I have two of them. They're really nice.
Yeah, they look great, and I'd love to read that sort of stuff, but I don't want to, like, search for it in the game or have to watch YouTube videos for that sort of stuff. I'm very into story-based stuff. So if the story's just like, what the fuck's going on? I'm like, I start dropping off of it. Even if the game is great, I have issues with that.
So, I don't know. I'm still searching for that one game. Again, like, I think Modern Warfare 2 will be that one game. Like, that'll be it. Like, I've already made my preparations. I've already said my goodbyes to my loved ones. Because once October and November hits. No, yeah, again, like, people always ask me, like, why haven't I replayed a game like Red Dead 2 or Metal Gear Solid 5? It's because no one would hear from me. Ever. Like, I won't be available. I will only go to work and then come home and play those games. Modern Warfare 2 will be that. Like, there will be nothing, like, left for me in, like, the real world at that point. Because I will be no, it's that bad. Like, I don't think you guys don't understand that the hold that Modern Warfare had on me. It is like, in my opinion, the greatest shooter of the last gen. 100%. Because of that hook it had in me and everything. And I say best shooter of the gen, you know, knowing that I did not finish the campaign because I did not find it interesting and I don't care about any of the co-op modes. It's just based on its multiplayer.
The story was good.
No, man, it was boring as shit. Boring as shit. My god, it was trying so hard to. It was trying. I mean, it looked nice, and it looks way better than most PS5 games, like native PS5 games. It looks way better than Cold War on a native PS5. Like, you know what I'm saying? Like the native PS5 version of Cold War. I love the production values. I think this was like their big Naughty Dog moment of like pushing like, you know, visuals and like and sound. The sound design's incredible and everything like that. But yeah, nothing about it interests me. I just like the multiplayer. I just really like the multiplayer. I just think that loop is like
campaign.
Yeah,
it was good.
Maybe I'll rent it again. Maybe I'll rent it again to play multiplayer. See how active it is.
It's probably pretty active versus Vanguard and Cold War. But I mean, everyone plays Warzone, so I think
it's
just kind
of yeah. So I guess now Modern Warfare is just called Warzone.
Yeah, pretty much. Yeah.
Warzone 8 Modern Warfare. It was like a joke on a Kotaku piece where it's like the Warzone menu on Modern Warfare's like menu is like massive.
Yeah, yep.
Oh, well.
I do actually have one more other game I'll tack on real quick. That the Wii Sports, like, port that they did for the Switch.
Oh, so Nintendo Sports.
Switch Sports?
Yes, that was... I picked that up. I played it with my daughter, and...
you destroy your TV.
No. I made sure everybody had their straps on and everything. But the game is... They're fun. Like, the bowling's fun. The tennis is fun. The soccer's interesting.
It's fun. The bowling like the classic Wii Sports bowling?
Yeah, it feels exactly nice. Like that. Except you don't have a bigger control. I think I prefer that Wii remote, to be honest with you, versus the smaller one. It just doesn't feel right. And maybe if I keep playing it with that, because I played so much of Wii bowling... maybe I'll just get used to it and whatever, but it's just like, oh, this is weird. This doesn't feel right.
How is this version of boxing? Is it as good as the...
No boxing.
No!
What? Ugh.
I think they're adding it in, just with the same with golf. They're going to be adding in sports stuff.
What does it have at launch then?
It has, okay, tennis, bowling, badminton, bowling, sword fighting, soccer. I think one.
How do you do soccer on the Switch Joy-Con?
You move around on that controller, like you use both of them, and then there's motion controls for like you swing one to kick.
Okay, makes sense.
And you swing it in the direction of where you want to kick it, and you're running around with a joystick on the field, so you're actually like kind of playing soccer. It honestly works pretty well. But you honestly have to swing fucking kind of hard, because half the time Hadley's like trying to swing it and it's like not picking up her shit. But she's also 5, so you know. I can't think of the other one: badminton, tennis, bowling, sword fighting, soccer. There's gotta be. I think there's one more, but I cannot think of what it is. The sword fighting is fun though. Kind of difficult to. To kind of understand, I guess, because how you block it, you have to block it a certain direction to block it how they're swinging it. I don't know. It's fine. I think it's fun. I think it's one of those things that you bring some friends over and you play some bowling and have a fun night getting drunk.
Oh, yeah, for sure. Like that 1-2 Switch game that they pushed with it.
Yeah, just playing Wii Sports shit with a bunch of drunk people would be fun. So yeah.
that's how you get broken TVs though.
That is how you get broken TVs. Everybody uses the straps in my house, no exceptions, just like coasters, except not coasters. We don't use coasters here.
I will purposely make rings on your table now. I'm gonna do that.
No. All right, CJ, talk to us about this game.
Bro, man. Okay, so full disclosure, I got it for review. So read it over at Game Critics whenever it gets done. I am playing Evil Dead the Game, a brand new asymmetrical horror game from Saber Interactive, which is weird because all I know from Saber are the Crisis ports they did. Let me see what else they've done.
Oh, yeah.
Because I don't know if they make... Oh, they're from Fort Lauderdale. They're from here. Apply for. Anyway, okay, so they did okay, World War Z, which is a solid Left 4 Dead clone, a really solid budget Left 4 Dead clone. NBA Playgrounds, never played. SnowRunner, dying to play. Crisis Remastered, which I don't love. And WWE 2K Battlegrounds, which I think is a fighting game, right?
Yeah, garbage.
It's like an arcade wrestling game.
Yeah. And they've also done wrestling, a bunch of they did like all the ports of like Halo to PC.
Oh, yeah, they're definitely a
they're like a port house. Yeah.
a porter house.
Yeah, porter house.
State porter house. Yep.
So it's an asymmetrical like survival horror game. It's a co-op game where four players play as survivors. One player plays as as like the monster, the villain, the demon, or whatever, and it's based on the Evil Dead films. So I love the first three Evil Dead movies because they're the only ones I've seen. I haven't seen the reboot, and I've seen 4 episodes of Ash vs. Evil Dead, the Star series. I will definitely watch more now.
There's a reboot.
There was a reboot in 2013, reboot/remake, in 2013. But that one's not as like it's not as funny. It's a little bit more serious. It's directed by Fede Alvarez, who did.
Oh, okay.
Don't Breathe. I think that he did that one. Hold up, I gotta look it up. But anyway,
did it have Bruce Campbell in it?
Bruce Campbell. He apparently had a cameo at the end of the movie.
Oh.
Okay. But yeah. So I love Evil Dead. I think Sam Raimi is like one of our greatest horror directors. I think he should be. He definitely is. He's celebrated up there with the likes of like a Romero or a Carpenter or a Craven, and those first three Evil Dead films are like masterpieces of the genre, specifically Evil Dead 2 and 3. I have like a really like soft spot for Army of Darkness because it's just a wonderful like big budget Looney Tunes film with zombies and like medieval shit, and I adore it. So I was looking forward to this game, but then I learned that it was asymmetrical, similar to something like Dead by Daylight or that really, really rough Friday the 13th game that came out in 2017.
That everybody loved for some reason.
Yeah, people loved it. They loved it more than Dead by Daylight. And yeah. Dead by and Daylight was more polished.
No, and everyone loves Dead by Daylight too. Like, that's the thing. Everyone loves that game also. I have no idea why, because it's not that fun. I'm not...
It's another one of those, like, party... Like, you just play with your friends, and you're just screaming all night.
Yeah, fun kind of games. I played a few matches, and I'm like, this is fine, I guess. It's not as fun when you're the survivor, but when you're a survivor, it's the only way you can play with your friends. So I'm like, I'm not enjoying it. So I wasn't looking forward to this, but then I saw some gameplay. Like, you know, a lot of TikTokers were posting gameplay of it, and I'm like, hey, it seems pretty fun. The combat's a lot smoother than those two games. Like, it's not as jank. You can tell, like, they have a little...
It's all, like, first-person shooter, basically, right?
Third-person. It's, like, it plays, you know, but it's a lot of button mashing like that, and then, like, the shooting's very simplistic, but it's still a lot smoother than, like, a Dead by Daylight or a Friday the 13th. Like, you can tell they have a little bit of money. I guess that's what that comes with, like, the license. It's still a budget game. It's a $40 game as opposed to, like, a full-price release. So I was, like, looking forward to it, and then I got my review code last night. I played... this morning, and there are two modes. There is the main multiplayer mode, which I didn't play until like later today with a friend, and then in the single player mode, which are missions, and these missions are basically recaps of events from the movies / the TV show, and that's how you unlock different variations of your characters. Each character belongs to a different class. Basically, Ash Williams is like, they're like the three or four different versions of Ash Williams, and they each fall into different classes and different like specialties, meaning like they're stronger with certain types of weapons, they have certain abilities, things like that. So you unlock them by doing these single player missions. These single player missions are fucking garbage because oh my god, they're like these, like they take place on like maps designed like the multiplayer ones, or they're kind of open-ended. You just go around looking for gear and loot and then just completing like missions. There are no cutscenes. There are these still images with like captions. They're not voice acted either.
No,
like that's my thing. And you have, I guess the most of the budget went to like the likenesses and using the actual license as opposed to like create. I you can kind of see the train of thought. They're like, we have this license, but we don't have enough money to throw behind like an actual story mode with like balancing and things like that. So we'll make a multiplayer game because I guess that's how you keep it going on longer, right? You keep this game alive and things like that. You can monetize it like that. And it bums me out because like, oh, this could have been a great budget single player title. It could have been like that Samurai Jack game from 2020, that I loved. Just something simplistic, something that's like fun. That's like ripped out of like the PlayStation 2 era, which are like a bunch of Evil Dead games on that console. I would have loved like a hack and slash or like a brawler or something like that. But no, unfortunately, what we get is like two different modes. One of them, the single player mode, feels like an afterthought basically, because you go through these missions. There's no checkpoints. They're incredibly long. If you die, you have to start over all again. And this is all to unlock characters. You have to do them if you want to unlock more characters. Which sucks. It's so fucking annoying. I did not enjoy it. I'm not going to play through the rest of them. I already played through, like, the first. I think I've seen everything that it has to offer as far as, like, the single player goes. It is dreadful. And then the multiplayer is a lot more fun, mostly if you're playing with friends. The problem is, like, most of those games, like, most of these kinds of games, nothing necessarily changes if you've played one match. Sure, there's like I think two maps so far that I've seen. Some matches you lose, some matches you win. That's pretty much all that's different, because it's the same objectives, the same type of weapons. It's all randomized though. You get different pieces of loot and everything. But yeah, nothing is screaming, like nothing's like dynamic at all. It is funny to play, get into a match and like all four players are like Ash in some different like from a different like movie or TV show. I feel like most games wouldn't be brave enough to do that, because like what Battlefront 2 won't let you play as like three different Darth Vaders in the Heroes and Villains mode, but this lets you play as like Ash from the TV show, Ash from Evil Dead 2, Ash from Evil Dead 1, and Ash from Army of Darkness, which I think is hilarious. But yeah, I'm not in love with it. I think this is I don't even say solid mid-tier game. I think it's just a mid-tier game that I am like, I don't hate it because I part of me now thinking about it wants to go back and play it. It's something's compelling me to keep playing it. I don't know if that's like obligation for the review or just genuinely like it's not that great, but it's kind of interesting. I don't know. It's not something I see myself playing for months. This isn't my one game. This isn't my new one game.
It's not your new home.
No. It's not. But I mean, it's I feel like it's like a good experience for Evil Dead fans. But if you're looking for something a little bit more, a little deep as far as multiplayer stuff goes, my ringing endorsement. It's better than Dead by Daylight.
Oh, okay.
Wow, I wasn't expecting that after the end of that to be like it's better than Dead by Daylight.
Dead by Daylight's dreadful and unfun. It is not. It's not fun for me personally, and I don't enjoy these kinds of games. I enjoy Evil Dead a little bit more. There's a new Texas Chainsaw Massacre game coming out, and guess what? It's another fucking asymmetrical multiplayer game. there's a fucking Dragon Ball game coming out that's also asymmetrical for some reason. I don't know why we're doing this. I don't know why.
Look up Dragon Ball game. What of them, Shenron or something?
No, yeah, it's like you're up against Frieza. You don't play as a Saiyan. You play as like fucking Oolong and Bulma.
Oh god.
And then you just run around a city like trying to survive. My thing is,
I think the last really good, or one of the better, like one of the more less recent asymmetrical games that really was good, I thought was Evolve. Evolve was so polished back in its prime.
It was ahead of its time.
100%. It really was. My thing is,
here's my thing. If they wanted to make a budget game, they could have just made like a Left 4 Dead clone with this premise, right?
Yeah.
Could have made. You didn't have to include like any like a story or anything. You could have just done like separate campaigns. Like World War Z does not have a story at all. You could have just done like separate campaigns. You play as characters and things like that. Zombie Army 4 barely has a story also, and that's a fun game. You could have done all this. It would have worked for this. You know what I'm saying? There are inklings of greatness here, and I hope my hope is they're like, all right, we'll add like a campaign or something at the very least, but it's probably too much work. I don't see why people who hold the rights to like these horror films aren't looking at the success of games like the recent Resident Evil or like Alien Isolation, saying no, there's a market for like single player horror games, like story driven ones. Like we could do it. I would have loved like a brand new Evil Dead game that felt like one of the movies, right? It's Evil Dead 2 is about a guy who's like all alone in a cabin, like going absolutely insane. Why isn't that like a game in itself? You get what I'm saying? It's like there. It's like this perfect like survival horror game
concept. Yeah, absolutely.
Army of Darkness could basically work as like a God of War clone. It's about a guy who goes back in time and fights like skeletons with swords and stuff, or like deadites with swords and has a shotgun. Like it's like the perfect premise for a game. I'm not sure why it's so difficult. I mean, I get it. This is like the easiest way to kind of reach the top of the charts. You get a lot of engagement. You get a lot of like, you know, people will keep playing it. There's no end to it, which is fine, I guess. I don't know. I'm just bummed out that I don't like love it, especially as like a fan of the property. But then again, like this is probably one of the better licensed games we're gonna get for a while.
I think I immediately wrote it off because of what type of game it was. I was like, I'm not gonna play that game. Like, I don't play Dead by Daylight, and that's the biggest, you know, asymmetrical game that's out there. There's nothing here for me. And then I started seeing a lot of videos for it of people playing it. I'm like, oh shit, this game actually looks kind of fun. That's
the thing. Like, the combat is like enjoyable. It's not like a Cody, you remember when you and I played Hood Outlaws and Legends?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, garbage ass game, but it had like a lot of promise because it played so well. Like, yeah. The core like mechanics. It's like, oh, okay, so they basically took like Assassin's Creed or Arkham and made it into like a multiplayer game.
Yeah.
Now, Evil Dead doesn't feel like that, but it still feels better than most of these kinds of games. And it's like movement and moment-to-moment gameplay.
Still not a game that you want to play.
It's still not something I love. I still want to play it. That's the highest compliment I can pay a game like this. That I still, like, as soon as we're done recording, I will continue playing it. If you ever get it on sale, it's crossplay. We'll play it.
Okay. I will keep that in mind and then forget about it tomorrow. All right, Brandon, tell us about your games that you've been up to.
I mean, the two games that I'm putting a lot of time in are For Honor and Destiny. They're my home.
Whoa. Really? I didn't expect that from you.
I know, right? Crazy.
Which one's your home and which one's your summer home?
I would say Destiny is the main house. And then Destiny's I just dabble in For Honor. And then sometimes I go to back to New Vegas as well.
So For Honor is kind of like your second family, not your first family.
Yeah, I go back to For Honor every now and then, and I'm like, this is fun, I like this, and then I'll get like, it'll just get to be like, as I like to call it, it'll just be fucking bullshit, and then I'll just like rage quit it for like 6 more months at a time.
Gotcha.
And then, I don't know, I got that PS5 like I told you guys about, and Horizon Forbidden West, though, haven't touched it in weeks. It just didn't pull me in like the first one did. Don't know what it was about. I don't know why, but I just like, I was like, you know what? I want to play my PS5. So I switched to Spider-Man Remastered. It's like, this is better. That's a great game. So nothing crazy. The new season of Destiny comes out next week. Literally on Tuesday at the time, like in 3 days at the time of recording this, 4 days maybe. And they still haven't even announced what any of it is about. Like,
oh, okay. That's interesting.
Yeah, they're like there was a TWAB this week at Bungie yesterday about it, and they're like, there's a time in the TWAB, they were like, there's a time and place to tell you what the new season's going to be, what the next subclass we're updating is going to be, but it's not this time, not right now. It's an hour before it launches on Tuesday. And I'm like, oh my god.
I wonder if it's going to be something really, really big or something so minute that it's like,
oh, I think. Okay. Based on past history, is that the last time that something like this happened, it was like one of the best seasons ever. Because usually, I think if it's like a bad season, they try to get out in front of it and spin it PR wise.
Yeah.
But the last time they were all hush hush about it, it was one of the, I don't remember what season it was, but it was one of the best seasons.
So what's the chances that like Lil Yachty and Justin Bieber do a live concert in Destiny?
Oh, hell yeah.
Justin Bieber is one of the new heroes in For Honor, so you know. You just take him into like the battlefield and stuff.
Are you joking?
Yeah, what? Okay. Yeah. Oh my god.
That'd be hilarious actually. I would have played it.
I can't put it past that shit anymore. I mean, they just had Assassin's Creed, yeah. Just ridiculous.
Well, it's not Fortnite. They did in For Honor just have an Assassin's Creed event.
Yeah, which is pretty lame, honestly. They've done that once. They've done it in the past too. It's just like a skin, basically. But you can't even play as him.
He's just a boss on the map that you have to go fight.
It's cool. I like it.
And, but you get like there was like the option to get an emote where you're like diving into a hay bale and stuff and poking your head out, which I thought was really funny.
That is fun.
But so yeah, I don't for games. I'm not very adventurous. I guess I'm a very comfortable person for my gaming. I'm more of like adventurous when it comes to like TV shows and other and like visual only media.
Yeah, we saw your YouTube recommendations.
Yeah.
Okay. Did you guys watch that video?
No, we did not.
Get out of here, then.
As someone who like torrents a lot of shit, I'm worried about my internet provider like looking at the shit you sent me. No, man.
Oh. Oh God. Okay. Well, let's move on to what we have been watching. I know CJ's got a shitload because I talked to him not too long ago about his stuff. So I'll bust through mine real quick.
I mean, there's some overlap.
There is some overlap, which is good. Moon Knight. I have one episode left. I have not finished it. It overall is good to fine to good. I'm not blown away by it. I think it's honestly probably my least favorite TV show from the Disney Plus Marvel stuff that they've been doing.
The last episode's pretty good.
What If stuff that I haven't even watched most of that stuff, but like the other stuff, it has its moments where it's like, oh shit, this is really interesting. But I think of the fact that, and I'm sure the last episode does something, but it doesn't tie in at all with any of the actual Marvel Universe stuff. So there's nothing
It feels like it could be standalone.
Yeah, it feels like it could be standalone, and that's kind of how I'm looking at it. And it's just, there's not enough there that's like, it feels so drawn out, and there's only six episodes, but it feels so drawn out that it feels like it's taken forever to get to the final conclusion of everything, and it just doesn't feel like anything's actually really happened in the show all that much. I'll finish it, but yeah.
There's this like joke that I heard about Moon Knight and like the Eternals, if you guys watch that. That like all the ancient gods are fake. Like they're always the Eternals. Those are all the gods. Oh, but except the Egyptian gods. Those are real gods.
Those are real. Well, I mean, you look at Thor, those guys are all real.
Well, yeah, but like in Eternals, they said that they were all the gods over time.
Oh, I gotcha. Like,
and then also, I'm pretty sure in the Thor Love and Thunder trailer, Zeus is there. So like they're literally just writing themselves into a corner here with this Eternals movie.
Yeah, I don't know what they're doing with the Eternals, but I mean that
best just to scratch it off. Say it's not a Marvel movie.
Well, no, I mean I think they kind of have to go along with it. Not like what was the other one? What was it called? It was a TV show that did not make it.
Is it Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D.?
No, it was the other. God damn
Inhumans.
It.
Agent Carter? Inhumans?
Inhumans, yes. The Inhumans. That
the
like,
show that had like an IMAX screening and bombed and everyone hated it. Yeah.
Yes, that one. And they literally were like, just joking. It's nothing. Don't look at this.
Yeah. What's funny is the actor who played Black Bolt in that Inhumans movie never mind, spoiler, I guess.
Yeah, we'll do a disclaimer.
Like the spoilers are like the least interesting part of that movie, alright, man?
It was all fan service, and like some people get, especially with fan service, people like
don't watch real movies, alright? You guys don't appreciate good things. I'm saying it right now, because I said it before. God damn, if that's what you were looking forward to in the 2-hour long movie that's like directed by one of our generation's greatest, like, our tours, you need to sit down and reevaluate every aspect of your life. Martin Scorsese was 1000% right, and you guys don't deserve anything good. Anyway, continue, oh Brandon.
God. Oh my god.
So we'll talk about Doctor Strange a little bit. The other thing that I started watching again, because Brandon started talking about it the last time we did this sort of format podcast, is Naruto Shippuden. I just started watching it again, and I'm watching all of the filler episodes, even though like there's bits in there that it's not filler stuff. It's like,
well, they have
flashback stuff, but there's
like
still
I have
stuff
like a
happening.
List if you want. There's
I don't
like
no,
a
f- I I'm okay. Like I have a list like, as well, but like I'm okay with watching it in all honesty.
Because there's like some episodes that are canon, some episodes that are mixed filler and canon, and then there's some pure filler episodes.
Yeah, I think the ones that I'm at right now are a mix. They're not.
Yeah. Yeah.
They're not. And I'm okay with not. There's definitely been some that I have skipped. That I'm like, this is obviously filler. I'm not watching this garbage. And then, but right now there, it's all stuff that I do want to watch right now. So I've been watching that. It's going to take me forever, and I will probably fall off of it again in a week, but
I mean, yeah, are you going to watch all 500 episodes?
Well, I'm probably halfway through it at this point.
Oh, wow. Really?
Yeah, it's taken me forever, but, like, I binge watched, like, just yesterday, I think I watched, like, 10 episodes.
Wow.
Yeah, so, like, I binge it for, like, a week, and then I'm like, I need to take a break, and I forget about it for a couple months. So,
and you're like, oh, yeah.
So yeah, that's basically all that I have done. I can't really think of anything else that I haven't watched any movies. I haven't done any of that shit. So, CJ, take it away with your giant list of stuff.
I haven't been on in a month, so you fuckers have to listen to me talk about movies. I will save one of them for after. Okay, so last I was on, I talked about how I was going to sign up for an AMC A-list subscription, and lo and behold, I did. So I've been going to the movies every single week, and it's such a nice feeling. I absolutely love it. I miss this so much. I am watching everything I can. I will... Sunday I might go see a special, this coming Sunday I might go see a special like early screening of the Bob's Burgers movie. I'm excited for that as well.
Oh, hold on. There's a Bob's Burgers movie?
Where have you been? Yeah, it's like the, it's almost out.
Yeah, it's out. Oh, it's out the same. It's out the same weekend as Top Gun. I'm gonna go see Top Gun early at one of the theaters close to me has an IMAX with laser. I am so fucking excited. The great, like my most anticipated blockbuster of the year, right there. I've been living. So what we're gonna do is the very first thing I watched since last recording was Michael Bay's Ambulance, which is not only maybe like the most fun I had in an IMAX screening in like forever, because that film was like beautiful on like on a massive screen. The sound was incredible. Jake Gyllenhaal's performance was like cocaine personified. It's like the only way I can describe it, because every line read, every like all his delivery and all these lines, his mannerisms just reads like a guy who snorted like the absolute biggest line right before a take. It's incredible. It's not only my favorite Michael Bay movie, it's also probably my favorite film of the year so far. It exemplifies everything I love about action films. It exemplifies everything that makes Michael Bay a great and distinct filmmaker, because he pulls all his tricks but finds some way to work in some new things. He discovered a drone camera, which is incredible, because there's some great shots, some great aerial shots and some great like effects with that. Every car chase is like a real car crashing into something, which is incredible, because in this age where everything's like shot in like in a soundstage in Atlanta, or in a green screen, or in a parking lot in Atlanta, nothing ever looks as good. Like, there are $200 million Marvel movies that look like fucking garbage. He made an action film where real cars are crashing into each other for $40 million, and it looks like the greatest thing ever. I absolutely adored it. This is, like, something special, and I'm so pissed it bombed. But I'm also happy, because, like, we finally got... We're at a point now where we're finally getting, like, the mid-budget action films again. And it's like the greatest thing in the world. It's the closest thing we've had to a Tony Scott movie since Tony Scott died, and I absolutely adore it. The next movie on my list, I watched Robert Eggers' The Northman, a very brutal, pulpy, like violent Viking film where that really pulled from a lot of like old sword and sandals films like The 13th Warrior, Seven Samurai, Gladiator, and of course Conan the Barbarian. It's like it's Hamlet, it's a little bit of Hamlet, it's a little bit of like all these other films, or Valhalla Rising, another one. And I absolutely loved it. It's just brutal, and I watched it on the big Dolby screen. The sound was great. It was like it looked incredible. I had such a good time with that one as well. I'm still thinking about it. Like, as soon as I walked out, there were like these moments where I came home, I was hanging out with my family, my cousin came by, and we were sitting in silence at one point, and I just remembered a cool scene from The Northman. Some of the best action, some of the best cinematography of the year right there. The day after that, I went to go see Unbearable Weight of Massive Talent, which is this wonderful black comedy starring Nicolas Cage and Pedro Pascal, in which Nicolas Cage plays...
Oh, yeah, that's what it is. Okay, I was reading that, and I'm like, I know what this movie is, but what is this movie? Like,
it's I can't remember what it is. It's this wonderful meta celebration of what makes Nicolas Cage one of our most compelling actors working this day. He is a true... he is a true gift to like the profession of acting, because he is like he's the sort of chameleon who can inhabit almost any role, and this film really touches upon what makes that great. There are references to films like I always forget what this movie, hold up, they even reference it there, Lynch, Nicolas Cage, Wild at Heart. There's like references to films like that. There's references to films like Mandy, another film I watched for the first time within this period. It's such a good time. It reminds me a lot of like why I like movies. It's one of those films that celebrates how important and how like wonderful the medium of film is, and how powerful it can be in like telling these like wonderful stories about like the human condition, or also just like a passion. If you have a passion, this perfectly explains it. And this is like what I'll show people, like if they ever ask, like, you know, why do you like movies so much? Like, why is it so important to you? This is one of those, like, experiences for me. I watched Everything Everywhere All at Once because that stupid-ass Harry Potter movie bombed. So all the IMAX screens at my local AMC were showing this movie, and I got to watch it in a nice big...
What Harry Potter movie?
The fucking...
The Fantastic Beasts ones.
Yeah, the fucking Crimes of whatever. No, like The Secret of Dumbledore. I don't know, man. Don't fucking watch
it's like the
movies.
Third Fantastic Beasts movie.
Oh, did that come out?
Yeah, it came out. No,
it was bad.
It came out and it doesn't exist, which is hilarious. It came out, and that movie is the reason why people couldn't watch Ambulance and IMAX the second week in theaters. That made me so mad. I was so bummed. I'm like, no, you guys are missing out on one of the greatest IMAX experiences ever for a stupid movie that doesn't even exist. But I did get to go see Everything Everywhere All at Once in theaters on IMAX, shot in, like, you know, full frame aspect ratio. Another just wonderful film that, like, perfectly captures, like, a lot of these feelings of, like, you know, a deteriorating relationship or, like, the sort of lost potential in your life. And that goes to show that, like, you know, you're the best version of yourself because all your failures kind of lead you to, like, to this moment. And it really resonated with me. It was like empty in the theater, and I was, like, in tears watching this, like, giant. I loved it. I had a really good time with it. And stuff I didn't watch in theaters. I am currently going through a Tom Cruise marathon because Top Gun Maverick's almost out. I watched the first Jack Reacher by Christopher McQuarrie starring Tom Cruise. I haven't read any of the books. I'm currently reading the first book. Yes, I get it. Jack Reacher himself is like a 6-foot, like, giant man. Tom Cruise is barely that, but man, he plays this. The thing with Tom Cruise is, like, he is the perfect example of a modern movie star because he is like an icon in itself. Like, he is just Tom Cruise, but in this movie he kind of takes that to an extreme. He's like the superhuman almost, and I love it. Like, he exerts this, like, energy. I watched Days of Thunder, a really solid Tony Scott film, in which Tom Cruise plays this hotshot, like, race car driver, you know, who wants to win Daytona. Beautiful, just beautiful. Tony Scott, rest in peace to the god, one of the greatest to ever do it. Just beautiful racing film. Everything looks great, the colors and everything. And then I rewatched Top Gun for another podcast I'm on, which I think will premiere by the time this one's out. And again, the first Top Gun's fine. It's a deeply evil film that's also incredibly gorgeous. And, you know, look, again, it's one of those things that looks better than almost any other film that's come out since. Again, rest in peace, Tony Scott. Speaking of Tony Scott, I watched Man on Fire for the first time in this, like, last month or so. A really solid action film. Maybe one of the best, I think. Maybe my new favorite Tony Scott film. And there's some great moments where, since it's shot on digital, Tony Scott decided, like, oh, I'm just obsessed with, like, these weird montage moments set to, like, Trent Reznor's music, and it rules. Denzel Washington is also, like, one of our greatest actors ever.
Seen Man on Fire. I've never even seen Top Gun either, actually.
The first Top Gun's fine, but again, it's like, if you can get past how, like, evil it is, because it's like, it's a movie that, like, drove enlistment rates up, like, by 500%. If you can ignore a lot of that,
yeah,
if you can
ignore, it was a lot of propaganda.
It literally is, because Jerry Bruckheimer was like, "Oh, I will work with the Navy to make this movie." But it's also one of the most, like, it's also this incredibly homoerotic film, which rules, because a lot of exposition is delivered by men who are, like, shirtless or in towels or in underwear, like, just yelling at each other and giving each other, like, these glances. It's incredible. It's like a volleyball,
like,
scene.
They, like,
give
each other fuck me eyes constantly.
It's so good. It is so, like, that's the thing, and it looks gorgeous. It's one of those films, like, one of the first times I watched the movie, thinking, how the hell did they shoot that? Because there are, like, these great scenes where these planes are flying. There's these great, like, the use of light, use of golden hour shots. It's great. Unstoppable. Another, like, Tony Scott's last film. Jesus Christ, incredible. Just one of these, like, it's this really lean 90-minute thriller where a train can't stop. It just can't. And then Denzel Washington and Chris Pine have to find some way to get it to stop. It is such a good action. Like, it's that tension. It's like Speed, or it's like Ambulance, where it's just the tension keeps building and moving and just going. It's something else entirely. The last three here that isn't, like, the big one that we're all going to probably talk about. I watched Mandy, great psychedelic horror film. I like it. Sorry, Nicolas Cage. It's not a cocaine movie. It's an LSD film that features cocaine in it, which I think is funny. The Rock, another Nicolas Cage film directed by Michael Bay.
I love that movie.
Oh my god. Never seen it.
It's got Will.
It's Nicolas Cage, Sean Connery. And Sean Connery basically have to like break into Alcatraz to save some hostages. Who are held hostage by Ed Harris. It was Michael Bay's second feature.
It's so good, actually.
It is so good. It is so fucking good. It is such a good time. It's one of the greatest like action films of the 90s. And then Black Dynamite, one of the funniest movies I've seen in, like forever. Love it. There's this one great scene. Michael J. White needs to be like a big movie star. I don't know why he isn't. I don't know why. Like, I know Spawn was bad, and now he's stuck doing fucking CW shows because he was in the fucking Arrow movies. But I think Black Dynamite could have been like the biggest movie ever if they released it right. But what we did get was like one of the funniest movies ever. There's a scene where Black Dynamite, played by Michael J. White, breaks into a room full of like these these drug dealers and pimps, and he's like, you know, all right, from now on, no one sells drugs in my community. And Cedric Yardbrow, who plays a pimp and a drug dealer, says, but Black Dynamite, I sell drugs to the community. Brilliant. Just airplane levels of, like, delivery, like you know, smart delivery and things like that. Had a good time with it. There's, like, a million other movies I watched, but, like, these are, like, the absolute highlights. I did, like, a mini TMNT marathon by watching the first live-action film and the 2007 animated film. I came away with the conclusion that the 2007 film is like a deeply underrated comic book movie, and I love it to death.
Like the one where they're all CGI?
Yes. That understands the characterizations more. Also, Nolan North plays Raphael in like one of the greatest like animated film performances ever. Like it's kind of shocking how good it is. Chris Evans plays Casey Jones. I don't like it because Casey Jones is my favorite character. He doesn't do a good job. Because he does.
I don't think I've actually seen any of those either. I haven't seen a lot of movies. I should watch those movies.
Cody's free time is all taken up by Apex Legends.
Guys, watch movies. I recommend just watch hour movies.
Of free time.
just watch. I recommend movies to you guys. Just go. It's like for our listeners. Just watch a movie.
I'm more of like a show kind of guy. I feel.
No, Brandon, watch a movie. Just watch movies. Like, they're great.
Well, I saw that Ambulance is already like available to like rent or
do you have digitally. Do you have a 4K screen?
No.
No. Yeah.
Oh, yes I do. We bought two new TVs and watch they're very, very big.
Watch it in 4K. Try to watch it in 4K with like a decent.
Moving up in the world.
Try. Hell yeah, no. Dude. Because I watched it like it has to be experienced in like the absolute best quality and like with the best sound.
Yeah, I'll just watch Naruto in 4K. no, I genuinely do want to watch it. I wanted to watch it in theaters, but it like disappeared so quickly.
That's the problem, because it came out the same weekend as Sonic 2, and the week before that Harry Potter movie. No, like it didn't have a chance at all. But I'm just happy I watched it. Like I watched
a lot of people liked it.
So. No, it's phenomenal. Again, it's my favorite film of 2022 so far.
It just couldn't compete against Sonic and Harry Potter, though.
That's honestly. The problem. No, and I love Sonic too. I had a good time as we talked about last time. Like I loved it, but like Ambulance is just like a true return to form for one of like our most like unique like auteurs. And I can't believe I was watching a video today where Michael Bay was talking. There's an interview series in France where. They get directors in like video stores and just have them look through the movies and talk about them, right? So I was watching it today from, you know, back when before Ambulance came out, and he was just like the way he talks about the things that influenced him, because he started on commercials. He talked about how like old Coen Brothers movies influenced the way he shot commercials, or how Heat influenced Ambulance, which is like super obvious. There's like a lot of allusions to Heat, which I'm gonna watch this weekend. Or how like, you know, he took a lot of the things he learned from commercial making when he made Bad Boys 1, which was his first film. Just incredible stuff. I also recommend that. I'll link the video to you guys, because it's just one of these things where I nothing makes me happier than to hear like directors I like talking about the movies they like, because it's just this further like deep dive into like, you know, this I have a love for it. Like if you go through like Scorsese's like 1,000 favorite films like ever, like there's some great stuff in there. But yeah, go watch Ambulance. I still recommend it. It is like it's one of the greatest films of the year, if not the greatest.
I definitely want to watch that. I also, you talked about your Tom Cruise marathon. Like you told me about that like last week, I think. And I'm like, oh, I should go watch all the Mission Impossibles. So all of them are on
Paramount.
Paramount, except for three.
Three's on Hulu.
Like, yeah, three's it's just on, really weird.
It what is weird. Yeah. It is. I own Fallout on 4K because I love that movie to death. I think that's like the greatest blockbuster ever made. I've been eyeing like the collection in 4K. It's just still like at like $60-something. I'm like, ugh, can't pull the trigger just yet.
Yeah.
Game Pass is offering a free trial to Paramount Plus for a month.
We have all of them. Like, it doesn't.
No, well, that's how I was gonna. I'm gonna do it. I'm gonna rewatch all of them.
Nice.
Using that, I just gotta redeem it.
Is Game Pass offering that free trial for Paramount Plus because of the Halo show?
I think so. I think probably. It's like a cross promotion thing. It's up until the 25th, so I have to get on that.
I'm done. Right on, Brandon.
Oh, I had a question. Yeah. Actually for you, CJ. You are obviously a Michael Bay fan. I was hoping to pick your brain about the Transformers movies.
I've seen the first three. They're not good. Because they have a lot of the Michael Bayisms that I like, but they're also just kind of boring because they feel very boilerplate. They feel like they feel like paycheck movie. You know what I'm saying? Like, you made these for a paycheck, which is fine.
Well, he's just cashing a check.
Exactly. He made like family films, which is fine. That was his goal. He was like, I want to make a kid's film, which he did. He did it. You know what I'm saying? Like, that's I respect that. You know what I'm saying?
I was just curious what you thought about him because
like Michael Bay. I've only seen the first three of the first three. I like the first one, I guess, the most. Everyone says like Last Night is like underrated, or at least Film Twitter does. Like, they say it's like an underrated film.
Yeah, the Mark Wahlberg ones aren't bad. Yeah.
They don't call to me the same way. Something like, have you seen Pain and Gain?
I have not.
Oh. My, like, that was my favorite until Ambulance, because it's just like this ridiculous crime film, like with The Rock giving his best performance in any movie. But it's like there's a huge difference between the Michael Bay of like The Rock or Ambulance or Pain and Gain or Bad Boys 2 versus the Michael Bay of the Transformers films. You know what I'm saying? His style is still there. There's still a lot of like what makes him great in Transformers, but it's just kind of crumbling under a lot, you know what I'm saying?
I mean, yeah, which, I guess I enjoy the Transformers movies personally. So like,
recently I rewatched the original animated one because I have a 4K copy of it, and I'm like, yo, this shit makes no sense. It's completely incomprehensible. It's also a fucking commercial for toys, but I'm having the time of my life right now. It's probably the greatest Transformers movie ever. I know Bumblebee is good.
Bumblebee is good. Yes.
Everyone really liked Bumblebee. I haven't seen that one. I kind of want to see it. But
I think I've seen the first two Transformer movies, and then not because I didn't like them, but just never even got around to ever watching any of the other ones.
I will say this about the Transformers films. Like, you can tell they're Michael Bay movies, and I think that's like a good thing. You know what I'm saying?
Which is it almost seems like a joke, though. Because it seems like Transformers made Michael Bay a joke.
100%, because they also have a lot of excess of what makes of his style. It's because he was finally given like a big budget. Like, those movies are like expensive as hell, right?
And he just went a little.
But my thing is this: you can tell those are Michael Bay movies. Pick out any random MCU movie, you can't tell who directed that movie unless you read about it. You get what I'm saying?
I can tell you who directed it: Kevin Feige. Directed yes. it.
Kevin Feige, the fans director.
Yeah.
But you get what I'm saying? So it's like, I respect that more. It's why I love Zack Snyder's Justice League so much. Because I'm like, yeah, a lot of it's incomprehensible, and a lot of it's just kind of like a bit too overindulgent. What? No, well, I'm saying incomprehensible in terms of like, you could tell like there's like five different movies playing at the same time here. You can follow it. There's nothing that, but there's like so much going on to the point where I'm like, okay, you clearly have more planned, but it's never going to happen, or you have nothing planned, and that's part of the fun. But there is a distinct style to it. Among all the rubble, there is like a style. You could tell who directed that through and through, and I respect that way more than the five Marvel movies we get that all kind of feel the exact same. To that, I respect Transformers. I don't think those are like the ones I wouldn't that and like the Island or Armageddon I wouldn't revisit. Oh, and Pearl Harbor. Pearl Harbor sucks. I think Pearl Harbor is the worst movie, hands down. I think it's worse than any Transformers movie. I think 100%.
I actually did not know he did Pearl Harbor.
Yeah, he did the like Ben Affleck.
Yeah, Pearl Harbor, Ben Affleck, right? I don't like Armageddon either. It's like a very special movie for a lot of people. I don't like it either. I didn't like The Island that much, but The Island's kind of weird because it feels so different from all the other stuff. But yeah, like again, love you, babe. We're he's back. Go watch The Ambulance. Go tell your friends.
I will watch it. Okay. I'll talk about it next time. All right, Brandon.
Go, Brandon. I apologize for.
Oh, you're fine. I asked you a question. I mean, like I said, I'm more of a show guy. I watched Doctor Strange 2 in theaters. That is like the first movie in a while that we've gone to theaters for, just because I like the Marvel movies. I like seeing what they're doing. But I mean, it was all right. It wasn't.
We'll talk more about it after your other ones. I think I'll just kind of dive into Doctor Strange 2.
Yeah, my Mary Beth wanted to rewatch Full Metal Alchemist Brotherhood, and I've never seen it, so it's like we'll watch it together. And I've always known about it. Like, it's not like I just like discovered it or anything crazy like that. Like, I've always known that it was there and that it was good. I just didn't realize that it was actually as good as it actually is.
It is very good.
I'm very impressed. I'm coming from like Naruto. The main animes that I've watched are like Naruto, One Punch, which is I guess a satire parody of.
But it's still shonen. It's still a shonen.
Yeah, it still is. But it's also a parody of other ones. And then My Hero are like the big animes that I've watched. And Fullmetal Alchemist has actually like probably gone up there as like one of my core favorite animes, just from like it's really well written and way better than I was expecting it to be. Because I knew it was, like I said, I knew it was good, just didn't realize it was like, no, it's that good. Like, very happy with it.
Yeah, I really liked it as well. That was actually one of my first like anime, like actually watching through an entire series of anime was Brotherhood. Because I looked online and they're like, this is the one that you should watch. Because there's two separate ones.
Yeah, no, Fullmetal Alchemist. So we watched it, we like went and looked at what the other one was. The other one was coming out as the manga was coming out.
Yeah, so they had to make up their own story.
Yeah, so like after a certain character dies, they started passing the manga and like so they really just like went their own way, their own story, and like that's why it didn't do too well from what
it was still fine, but I think the fact that they went back and did Brotherhood and followed it, that was just better.
It makes me wonder what the other Fullmetal Alchemist anime, like where it goes. You know,
I watched that one too. I watched it after I had watched Brotherhood, and it, like I said, it's fine. Like I don't think it's bad the direction that they went with it, but Brotherhood is clearly much better.
Is Brotherhood now like in that upper echelon of anime for you then, Brandon, since you've been watching
it? Yeah, actually, it's like it's probably one of my like top three favorite animes. Yeah, out of the
three
main ones. But like, no, I mean, I watch more. There was this really funny like. The hard part with it is that like I have a hard time watching sub anime, because like I get very distracted easily, and if I start looking at my phone while a subbed anime is on. Well, guess what? I just don't know what's happening anymore.
Well, I feel that way about anime in general. I if it's like more than like 100 episodes, I'm watching it dubbed. I don't care. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I can't focus. I can watch a 4-hour long movie in like Japanese. I can't watch like 100 episodes of a show in Japanese.
That's actually one of the reasons why I stopped watching Naruto, because the dub was so far behind that, and I've only ever watched the dub, and so I'm like, I don't want to watch the sub. And then eventually I was like, I want to watch this. I need to just watch a sub. Everything's close enough in terms of voice actors.
Oh, so I mean, I could give you a website that has the dub of all 500 episodes.
I'm not. I'm at the point I've watched enough sub, and I watched sub for everything else. It was just Naruto specifically because I grew up with that and having the English voice actors for that stuff that I wanted to keep up with that. But everything else I can watch sub pretty easily. Like I don't know. I use subtitles for everything.
Me too.
Like always 100% subtitles have to be on so that I know what's going on, except for comedies. I don't turn it on for comedies because I feel like I will read too far ahead and then
You'll spoil the joke.
Yeah, I spoil the joke. I'm just like, oh fuck. Okay, well, the delivery was like, significantly better from these guys than me reading it, you know?
That's funny.
That's so sad.
Other than that, I'm fine with reading everything. Like, and if you have two kids, you almost kind of have to. So... Brotherhood's very good.
I'm loving it. Yeah,
for sure.
Mm-hmm. Definitely love it. I make the joke to Marybeth, like, "You want to watch One Piece next?" And like, man, the glares.
I do want to watch One Piece, but
what?
Such a big
get out of here?
Because I loved One Piece.
Read One Piece. Read One Piece instead. I think that's faster.
It might be faster, but that. Probably cost a lot more money than just watching it on Hulu.
Man, $2 a month on the Shonen app isn't bad.
That's not bad. I guess you could read it digitally. Like
it's that. All there. It's all and it updates every week. Yeah, the Shonen Jump app has like a bunch of solid stuff. They don't have everything. Like they don't have Fist of the North Star, but they got almost everything.
Never mind.
Like, they have all. I actually have 3 copies from work of like because they just reprinted Fist of the North Star, so I'm like reading through it and I'm like, oh, I just wish it was digital. But yeah, it's all, they have a bunch of stuff. I just stopped paying for it because I just stopped reading the comics and manga because I'm reading actual books now because I bought
that
a Kindle.
Makes sense.
Nice. But I, it's a great app. $2. You get everything. You get like a decent, like,
that's worth
like,
looking into.
Health.
It is
it's,
actually.
You get like at least, I don't know how many chapters you get a day for free. You don't even have to pay for it. You get like, you get like 3 chapters a day for free. So you can either start from the very beginning, or like, or if you're like caught up, you just read like whatever's like new. So it's a pretty solid, like deal. I 100% recommend it. Like this isn't a plug for them or anything. I'm just saying like it's just a great app. It's just
now
a really
to
great
our
app.
Sponsor Shonen.
Bro, straight up, yo, Shonen, please. I want to buy an iPad so I can keep reading anime because my Samsung tablet's like falling apart. Please, like, please pay me.
They'll pay you $2 a month.
That'll build up.
You pay me $2 a month and I will read it to you over Discord. I will explain.
It's like an audiobook.
Yeah. I'll explain all the panels to you.
He's got this like little stern face.
And then,
like
Luffy jumps into the water. He's scared.
He's stretching really, really far. Like he's stretching into the next frame.
Oh no, Luffy's taking a bite of the Gum Gum. What's gonna happen next? What's gonna happen next?
Jeez. Okay. I've actually been reading the Rick and Morty comics, and they're actually pretty good. I'm just gonna leave it there. It's pretty.
Oh my god.
They're fun.
I haven't read them yet. I have a copy from work of
the Omnibus. Like all the volumes are on Kindle Unlimited right now. And I think I've read through 3 of them so far, and I used to read
the Simpsons comics when I was younger, the only reason I want to read Rick and Morty ones is because like it kind of reminds me of that, right? Are they not canon?
I think they all are, but they're not like in the, because obviously the show has like a huge overarching plot that spans seasons. Yeah, they genuinely do. Like
made an episode saying, like, they made a whole episode that was like, continuity stupid. You're dumb for asking all these questions.
Yep. Uh-huh.
It's true though. It's what's 100% right, because it's true. TV shows need to stop having arcs.
But yes, it does have one. But the comics are all like their own like story. It's basically a full episode of just a fucking weird adventure that they go on, and it's fun.
So it's like classic Rick and Morty.
Classic Rick and Morty, yes.
Nice.
Yes. Go ahead, Brandon. Sorry.
Oh, you're fine. No need to apologize. The only other thing I'm actively watching is I'm watching Young Justice week to week still. Did I tell you guys to go watch it? Yes. I did.
You did. I have.
Did you? Did you guys go watch it?
I mean, I'm not caught up with it, but I have watched it. I'm into, like...
How many episodes of Naruto did you watch in one day?
I forgot about Young Justice, all right?
I'm only asking you, the next time you do a big spree like that, start your big watch spree with one episode of Young Justice.
Well, no, and then rest of your time... I will actually end up just sitting there watching all of Young Justice.
And why is that bad?
Because I want to watch... Naruto.
No.
What is it?
Of Young Justice?
Yeah.
Phantoms. I think it's Phantoms, yeah.
I'm like six episodes into Phantoms.
Oh.
So, oh, yeah.
You're farther than I thought.
Yeah, okay. I'm genuinely like... I was expecting
you to be on like season two.
Yeah, no, I've watched all of that a long time ago. Like, that show is excellent.
Is excellent, yes. CJ, did you start watching it?
No.
Asshole.
Wow. It's so good, though. Please.
No, I'm sure it is. You're preaching to the choir. I love superhero shit. You know that, 100%. I just don't watch TV. I only watch sitcoms. You know what I did last night at midnight? I started a Family Guy again. Because I'm so fucking
just watch Young
Justice.
Like, God damn it.
I saw that on Twitter, and I was like, why?
Because I it's a good following. Look, here's the thing. I don't want to watch, if I need something in the background, I don't want anything too plot heavy. And if I'm going to watch something too, like a very story driven, or at least something that requires an investment, I'm going to watch a movie.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I know. Oh, that's, I just,
you're killing me. Come on.
I only watch sitcoms. That's all I watch. I only watch sitcoms and then like I'll rewatch Nathan for You every year.
Is Family Guy a sitcom?
Yeah, it is. It's a situation
comedy. I thought it was more like a gag show.
It's a sitcom. It's all jokes, which is fine. It's what I want. I want to laugh. Life's hard.
Just watch Young Justice. God damn it.
America's in a rough place right now. I need to laugh. You know what I'm saying? Like I need to, you know, Family Guy's there for me.
Right? Okay, so Family Guy is considered an adult animated sitcom. Never would have called it a sitcom.
The Simpsons is a sitcom. Yeah, but it's like Rick and Morty's a sitcom.
Yeah, right. I don't like. I guess I never really thought of the animated shows as
a sitcom. Yeah, it always like comes across in my brain as like live action. Yes.
Would you call like Young Justice a cartoon, or would you call it a superhero show?
It's an action adventure,
no.
young adult show. At the beginning, it's like a the thing show. With it's, I wouldn't call it just a superhero show.
But it is.
I'd call it just a superhero show. It's a great show, but I would definitely
like Batman the Animated Series.
It's a superhero show.
Batman the Animated Series is a superhero show, but there's like it's also a noir show. But like the umbrella term for it is a superhero show. Like
it
Family
is a
Guy,
great superhero show.
The greatest. I won't hear anything about it. But like Family Guy is a sitcom, but it falls under different like categories. Like it's a black comedy. It's like a surrealist show. It's a, you know what I'm saying? It's things like that. Rick and Morty.
I guess
like
just the term sitcom is a little bit of a wider umbrella than I thought.
Exactly. Yeah. Like Curb Your Enthusiasm and It's Always Sunny are sitcoms, but they're very different.
What?
From like, yeah. Like, yes.
That's so weird. Like I can't.
They're
like,
just more. They're just more. That. They're just more prestige than something like a Big Bang Theory. Do you know what I'm saying?
Oh, God.
I despise that show.
We've talked about
it. I watched that to go to sleep, too.
Is it because it's so boring?
Yeah.
I just watched that one episode on repeat. You know what episode I'm talking
about. Yeah, we're not doing that again. We're not revisiting that thing. We're not revisiting lore. We're not revisiting Tired of City and lore. This
You should check out our wiki page.
Actually, I have a 5-hour video essay you can watch to explain, to explain our Discord chat.
Oh God. Okay.
And then like there's just like stuff coming out though. After, I'm like so excited for a lot of stuff coming out in the next 2 months or less. Like, there's The Boys season 3 that looks super good. If you've been following that show, I'm really excited to see where it goes. It supposedly goes, I think what I heard, I don't know like all the lore behind The Boys. I heard that it, like, the first and second season kind of veered away from the comics, and the third season's kind of going back towards the source material more.
Yeah, they kind of like a lot of shows that are based off of comics like that, they kind of make their own choices for the most part, but the characters are still all in there. Kind of think and Walking Dead for the most part.
Yeah.
Like, there's a lot of different, like, characters that they created for the show, but the overarching bad guys and stuff is all still in there.
Gotcha. And then I'm super hyped. I think it's 1 week from today at the time of recording for Obi-Wan.
I think, you know what?
Yeah.
You know what? No. I'm gonna say it. I think I might watch it.
Oh.
I'm definitely gonna watch it. I will definitely.
Like I said last time, I'm all about the in between stuff for Star Wars, and this looks so good. Like, it's got the Inquisitors, Hayden Christensen's back. Like, I'm all for this more in between stuff. Like, I'm so excited, and especially since they delayed it like 3 days, I think, a while ago. But to, like, counter that, they're like, but we'll give you 2 episodes at release. And everybody, the community was collectively like, oh, yeah, that's fine, of course. You want to delay it 3 more days? We'll have another episode, please.
Just drop it all at once, and you can drop it in a month. That's fine.
Nah, I'm perfectly happy with the week-to-week thing. Because then people can talk about it. They're all in the same spot. It's not like you don't get the one guy who stays home from work to watch all of it in one day, who then has to go to work and then can't talk about it because everybody else watched one episode, kind of thing.
Like, his name is Brandon.
Shut up. And then there's like 2 more shows I'm hyped for. Like, Westworld season 4 is coming out soon. Like, they're like Shadow dropped a trailer and they're like 2 months away and we're like, oh God. But it seems that Westworld's cadence is every other year. So I'm like, I have to watch season 3. Well, because we're like, going to watch Westworld season 3 after Full Metal's done.
Like, Barry then, just ended, so I guess they need something to fill that slot.
Yeah. Which Westworld, I mean, I watched season 1 and season 2. We're going to watch season 3. But season 1 and season 2, really good television, honestly. Like,
when season 1 came out, that was huge. Like, that was their
their
next step after Game of Thrones. Like, and then season 2, everyone's like, yeah, it's still pretty good. And then season 3, they're like, Westworld what?
Well, because it's weird because it's like stuff like Euphoria, Succession, Barry kind of like took over as like the, you know what I'm saying, post Game of Thrones, HBO is very much in that landscape.
But I think Westworld's biggest, like, I guess fault is the word, is that it takes 2 years to do a season. Like, if it was like every year they did a new season, I feel like it'd be still a little bit more in everyone's like mind, you know? But the fact that they have a bi-yearly like release schedule is probably what makes people fall off. But at the same time, they see Westworld season whatever is coming out, people are more likely to go back and rewatch all their old ones.
Yeah.
So.
Right.
Still a great movie. Still recommend the film it's based off of.
Yeah. I have not seen the movie. When was the movie made?
Long time ago. 73?
Let me see. Oh, geez.
Stars a young James Brolin. It's phenomenal. It's such a phenomenal film. 1973.
Is it on HBO?
It used to be.
Yes, actually. I think it is.
No, it's not. It's only like available to rent.
I think we can rent it on Amazon. Yeah.
I kind of swore I remember seeing it on there.
It's got Christian Bale in it. Who is that? No, that's not a Christian Bale. That picture looks like Christian Bale, though.
That's a young James Brolin. Josh Brolin's dead.
That's what it is. Okay.
Phenomenal film. Like a genuinely eerie science fiction.
I love Michael Crichton, so like I might rent it.
No, it's great. It's a good time. It's a really good time. It's that very 70s version of sci-fi where everything's super bleak, but I kind of love it.
I mean, have you looked outside though?
Have you watched the news?
Yeah, exactly. The laughing covers the crying.
Oh. I'm binge watching the news right now. No spoilers. I'm still in season one.
No one tell me how World War III is going to end. No spoilers, please. Oh, and then I guess the last thing I'm hyped for is, did you guys ever dabble in Love, Death, and Robots on Netflix?
I kind of want to because David Fincher's behind it, and it's like a successor to like Heavy Metal, which, have you seen Heavy Metal?
No.
It's like a wild-ass animated film from the 80s where it's like an anthology similar to Love, Death, and Robots based in an old magazine. It's crazy. It's full of heavy metal music. I've never seen the show Love, Death, and Robots, but I heard mixed things about it. I just want to watch it because of the pedigree.
Yeah, I really like... Same here. Both of you haven't seen it?
No. I mean, in all honesty, I think Black Mirror kind of pushed me off of like anthology shows. Like, I just couldn't get into it. So when I heard about this, I'm like, I don't even want to try. But I've heard decent things about it.
So season one, I thought was phenomenal. Like, each story was so unique. They were like, it was pushing boundaries and like twisty and like. Each one was its own worthwhile piece of media to consume, and it was fantastic. And then season two came out. I was like, oh, I'm so excited. And, like, season two, it felt way safer, and I was kind of disappointed about it. Like, season one, they just did it to do it and, like, put those stories out there, I felt. And then season two, they were like, oh, we could capitalize on this, and they kind of made them more consumable, more just, like, generic almost, it felt like. I don't know. I definitely enjoyed season one more than season two. There are everybody, and like what I really enjoyed Netflix doing is that when everybody watched season one when it came out, the watch order was randomized for each person. So like there was no like first episode. You turned it on and ours was like the robots on vacation one. And we were like, oh, okay, this must be the first one. And I talked to someone else. I'm like, yeah, I watched the first one. It was this one. I'm like, what? And we found out, we looked it up, that it was randomized. Like, your whole watch order is randomized.
That's
which is
interesting.
Which, for an anthology, makes sense. You know, it's like...
It doesn't matter.
It doesn't matter because there's no story moving throughout it. It's just each one is its own thing. So what does it matter what order you watch them in? And I thought that was really neat too, a little like nice piece with that to add on to it.
Kind of a gimmick, but like, yeah, it works.
It worked. It was great. Yeah. It was really cool. So I'm hoping season three is more along the lines of season one and less season two, because season two did not resonate as well.
Right.
So. But you guys should watch that too.
I will. I will.
Shows away from movies.
Yeah, no, I don't even play.
You're talking to the wrong person. CJ will never.
You are. I'm so sorry. I will never do that. But like, I will again. It's the pedigree behind it. Like Tim Miller, I have a lot of respect for, and obviously David Fincher is like one of the greatest filmmakers ever. I have a lot of love for heavy metal. I have to check it out. I've been meaning to.
If you get for your first episode The Werewolf in Afghanistan, please just watch another one after that. Okay. I did not like that one at all.
Okay.
That's in season one, and I was just like,
Werewolf in Afghanistan. It's like the Warren Zevon song, Werewolves of London.
Like it's funny because I'll like describe them, and like if there's no spoilers technically, it's just gibberish.
Yeah, I mean, you literally said robots on vacation. I'm like, okay, yeah, sure.
Yeah. Like, and you'll watch that episode and be like, oh, yeah, okay.
No, this makes sense. Okay, yeah, they are on vacation.
Yeah. So.
All right. So I know we kind of dabbled a little bit into Doctor Strange 2, the multiverse of madness. I think we're running kind of long right now, and I think that if we dive into this movie, it's going to be like another hour. And I don't have that capacity right now. What?
No, me either. I don't have that capacity.
Okay.
Either.
Okay. Good. I would like to do an episode specifically on Doctor Strange 2 and then invite Eric on as well, because I think he I think all four of us have varying degrees on how we felt about this movie, with Eric being probably the bottom and us being higher up on it. Yeah, he did not like that movie, like, at all. Yeah, which kind of blew me away, because it's a Marvel movie. Like,
I mean, I didn't think it was great. It was entertaining. That's where I'm at.
So I would like to record a completely separate episode on that, if you guys are cool with that.
Mm-hmm.
I think that could be a supplemental episode, or maybe that will take place of the week where I get married. We don't have to record anything on that weekend.
Ooh, we could record together.
As I get married.
Oh, wait, no, you're saying a different weekend. Never
mind. Yeah.
I misunderstood.
Yeah. All right. So that is going to wrap up this episode.
No, wait. Hold up. We don't have to go deep into it. I think the three of us can give a quick summation of what we thought of it. We don't have to get into spoilers or anything like that.
Okay. All right. CJ, give us a quick summation of how you felt about this movie.
It's good. It's like the first time I watched an MCU film that felt like it was directed by an actual person since Iron Man 3. Doesn't reach those heights, obviously. Iron Man 3 is still, like, very special to me. But it's nice to see Sam Raimi given a sort of a blank check to do what he wanted. Obviously, you could tell there are reshoots in some areas that are really awkwardly shoehorned in. I hate that, like, he probably did have to fit in a bunch of stupid-ass fucking Marvel stuff in there when he could have just made this really solid comic book horror film. There's some sequences that reminded me a lot of Evil Dead and Darkman, which I loved, the way the camera moved. Like, moving the camera in a Marvel movie goes a long way. Like, making a Marvel movie look good goes a long way, apparently. Who knew? I 100% foresee this movie being an outlier, and no other Marvel movie will ever do anything remotely close to giving any director freedom ever again. I'm calling it. Marvel will learn the wrong lessons, because it seems like Marvel fans are fucking... Like they don't appreciate what a good movie is, and it kind of makes me mad, because, like, we're everyone's like, oh no, Sam Raimi should have gotten less freedom. He wants to make something corny. I'm like, no, he wants to make something genuine, because he cares about comic books. What a concept. What a fucking concept. Those, like, the transitions that felt ripped out of a fucking panel from a comic book, the greatest thing I've seen in a Marvel movie to date. Like, what are we doing here? Like, why are we mad at this? It ruled. It was good in IMAX too, because it actually filled up the entire screen. I had a really good time. Is Sam Raimi back, quote unquote? No, because this is still, it still isn't, like, in that, like, realm of, like, great Sam Raimi. But it's up there. It's like, it's arguably, I had a much better time watching this than I did No Way Home. I'll say that. Like, I'm like, oh, wow. I actually walked out like, holy shit, like, that felt good. Like, there are still moments I'm thinking about, no spoilers. There are some things that I'm like, I can't believe, like, Sam Raimi got to do the thing he wanted to do. He made another comic book film based on a character he liked reading. You know how crazy that, you know how great that is? Like, because Doctor Strange is a very 60s superhero, because that's around the time he was, like, created. Like, he got to do that. He got to do, like, a lot of things, and I'm like, can you imagine how great it would have been if he just was able to do it completely the way he wanted to do it? It would have been, like, the greatest superhero film of, like, the last, like, you know, 20 years since, like, Spider-Man 2. But what we got was good. I had a good time.
I would agree with just about everything that you said. I think that the movie had its own style, and it worked really well. It was completely different. Not completely different, but different enough from the first one that made it that much more enjoyable. It reminded me of how Thor and Ragnarok completely changed how they went with that character. Whereas this just kind of changed the style of it. The characters felt the same still, but the style of how they did that movie is different, and there's genuine moments of, like, holy shit, this is fucking spooky, which I wish he was able to lean more into, which we all know that he wasn't allowed to do, but I enjoyed the movie. I did like it.
They did get it to as close as rated R as I think they were allowed to, though, which I appreciate.
But even then, I think the claims of, like, gore are, like, overblown, and it just goes to show that, like, people who go watch Marvel movies don't watch other movies.
it's supposed to be a kids movie, and it's like, come on.
It still is. Yeah. It still is a kids movie. It still 100% is a kids movie. Nothing in there is like any. Have you guys seen Shazam?
No.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. There are moments in Shazam that are genuinely terrifying for like a young child because it feels very much like an 80s kids movies are fucking horrifying.
Oh god, they were.
Like Dark Tower is a scary movie. Do you know what I'm saying? But it's a kids movie, and I'm like, this is what they should be. I think kids should learn to be scared of like things because then they can recognize fear. This is like the perfect gateway to horror. You know what I'm saying? I hope like a kid watches this and realize like thinks about like why something was scary and where to like seek that out. Like I really do hope that. Like I really hope like this will get them to like watch something like Evil Dead. You know what I'm saying? Like someone who is of the right age, who is like getting in the film, can look at this and say, "I want to know what else this director's made," and they'll go explore that. Like that's the best thing we could hope for. It's not too scary. All of you are prudes. Sorry, Brandon. Go ahead. I didn't mean to interrupt you.
I'm fine. I mean, I thought like the direction that Sam Raimi did was really fantastic too. Like I thought it was really refreshing. The writing I just wish was a little bit better.
It has a lot of the Marvelness, but I do like that there's some. You could tell they're trying to write it around. The writer is trying to write it around Sam Raimi. Do you know what I'm saying? Yeah. Like there are moments that do feel very much like they're ripped out of like the first three Spider-Man films. Mm-hmm. But then they're gonna have then, but then they look at the camera and wink at you, and you're like, okay, we're back to the MCU. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
We're back to, and that's what made me mad. I'm like, they could have just held out. You know what I'm saying? They could have held out a little bit. I agree. A lot of the writing was kind of weak. I agree.
Yeah. But I didn't expect anything bigger.
Yeah, I wasn't expecting anything groundbreaking from this. I was like, okay, it's going to set something up and then it'll be a fun movie. And like, the direction was way better than I thought, but like, I don't know. I was hoping the writing would be the story, I guess the writing is just like the story was not as like captivating as I was hoping.
It had its moments for me.
Yeah, it was. I left thinking like that was fun. It wasn't fantastic, but it was fun. That's literally my thought process when I left the theater.
And I think that is just fine for a Marvel movie. So yeah,
that's better. That is better than fine for a Marvel movie.
I think that's what they go for. They want you leaving being like, that was fun. I can't wait to see what they do with the next one. Like, how do they tie it in with the next one?
I don't care.
The next one?
Thor?
Thor. Thunder. So it won't tie in with the next one.
Ooh, I do. Even... I do really want to like just throw. I'm so stoked for that movie.
I'm looking forward to it, but then now I realize that like I watched Doctor Strange the day it came out, and it was the worst decision ever because we went to a theater right by a university predominantly, you know, populated by white students. And these like frat boys came in, smelled like absolute shit and were vaping in front of us, and we realized we should never watch Marvel movies on like premiere day. we should never, no matter how tempting it is to go see it in IMAX. We should never watch it in like on a premiere day. That was not a fun experience. It smelled like shit.
I am really just excited for Tessa Thompson to come back.
We
all are.
Taika Waititi does great work.
And Natalie, have you seen the pictures of Natalie Portman?
Jacked. Yeah. Let's go.
Oh my god.
Yeah, I saw this one. This one meme. It was hilarious. She was kind of like just like looking super butch, which is fine, obviously. But the text on the meme was Chad May. I was like, fuck, that's hilarious.
Hell yes. none of this will matter though, because you know, Top Gun Maverick will absolutely mop the floor with any blockbuster coming out, and I think that's where we can end the podcast.
Alright, thank you guys so much for listening to this episode of the Tired Obsidian Podcast. If you have any comments, questions, any of that sort of stuff, you can find us on Twitter. And yeah, thank you guys so much for listening. And we will see you next time. Bye.